But the reality is, when this happens, it's not like there's a flurry of innovation. It's really just a flurry of, you know, quick get rich quick schemes that seem to proliferate, and it seems to work many times over. But the reality is, you know, in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, most of these things won't be here. What matters is who can make the most amount of impact and grow the amount of users across the base as fast as possible. And I think those schemes eventually will run out of money, and, you know, people will get tired and eventually figure out that it's a scam. Our goal is to enable people to build real applications at scale.
Hey everybody, Tanner here with WAGMI Ventures. On today's episode, we have Adnai Abiodun, co-founder and chief product officer at Mistin Labs, creators of Sweet. For anyone who's new, this is the WAGMI Ventures podcast, where we do snapshots with interesting builders, founders, and investors from across Web3. Check out wagmiventures.io to learn more about the syndicate behind the podcast. But for now, let's get into it with Adnai at Mistin Labs. All right. What's up, everyone? This is the WAGMI Ventures podcast. I'm Tanner, and I'm here today with Adnai Abiodun, co-founder and chief product officer at Mistin Labs, creators of Sui. Adnai, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm super excited to learn what you guys are up to these days and dive a little deeper on all things at Mistin Labs. So here to start, I'd love to just talk a little bit about your path, because it seems you've been working professionally in the crypto space in some capacity since 2012, which is just remarkable, right? So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your crypto journey and how it intersects with your professional journey, kind of leading up to the creation of Mistin Labs.
Sure thing. So I started off my career as a software engineer. I was actually working at an investment bank at the time, building software for risk management. And I read the Bitcoin white paper. And reading that Bitcoin white paper, I was really excited about the possibilities. Initially, I didn't take it seriously, to be honest. Like, it just seemed very far-fetched, till I tried it myself. I started buying Bitcoin. I built my first company in 2012 because I thought, okay, well, look, if I can mine this thing cheaper than I can buy it, why not just try and mine it? And accidentally built one of the largest Bitcoin mining companies at the time. We actually controlled close to 15% of all the Bitcoin hash rate at one point in time before we decided to get out of the business, just because power ended up being very costly. But then after that, I founded another big data blockchain-based company still around today. And once I fully vested, I went off to both Oracle and VMware, because I thought enterprise blockchain could be the next big thing. Namely, because I thought, let's get as many enterprise companies using it as possible. And I had a short stint at both VMware and Oracle trying to make that happen, and realizing very quickly that it's not where it's at. It's really going to be about decentralized systems, because incentives are always complicated when you try and get companies to negotiate between themselves. And I think a fair ledger or fair layer for everybody that's fully permissionless is a way to really get that consensus, and, you know, brought myself back into a fully decentralized world. And that was when I found myself at Facebook. We're building it based on a consortium with a view of ultimately decentralizing the network over time. And the Libra project was what I was working on at Facebook. Interestingly, I wouldn't have gone to Facebook for anything other than that project. It's probably one of the most exciting times I had for any companies I've previously worked at. That's where I met my co-founders, Sam, George, Evan, and Kostas Chokias. And we built Mistin together. And this was after a time of realizing the Libra project wasn't going to get off the ground. Sam and a team had invented an amazing new language called Move. Kostas had built all the cryptography. In fact, he was building the cryptography also for WhatsApp. George had built all the algorithms of consensus, and Evan had built an amazing research team that created the Libra blockchain. And we had a lot of learnings and thought, well, look, we've been at this for a couple of years. We've not seen the space change forward in a positive way. Everyone's building tech as though we're still in 2013, 2014, and ignoring the fact that parallel systems have actually existed for a long time. And we thought no one better to do it than ourselves. And we embarked on building a company focused on building platforms and protocols to make the internet fairer.
Love it. Okay. So let's talk about Mistin Labs here. I'm curious, in its totality, how you would describe what Mistin Labs is creating and what you seek to enable across all of the various activities happening across Mistin Labs.
So the goal and the mission of Mistin Labs is to build platforms and protocols to make the internet more decentralized. And the first project we've embarked on is building the underlying coordination layer, which is what we call Sui. Sui is by far the fastest, most performant, lowest latency, decentralized coordination layer that's ever been built. It's multiple years of research and development to actually get to where we are. And we launched that protocol in May 3rd last year. And things are going relatively well. It's growing to be one of the fastest growing non-EVM chains in the world. It's actually second just behind Solana today. it's growing at a rapid rate, and people are finding that the dev experience is absolutely amazing. So our goal at Mysten is to continually invest and build Suite to be the best platform for developers to build decentralized apps, while also figuring out all the niggling problems that the internet ultimately has that we can use our skills to help build and make a better place.
Super interesting. Okay. So obviously, ton of enthusiasm around Sui, right? But I'm curious, Mysten Labs in particular, kind of building behind the scenes here, you know, what do you feel like your unfair advantages as a team? I mean, obviously the Facebook experience is tremendous, and that experience together, surely, you know, direct correlation between the success that we're seeing here with Sui. But curious from your perspective, like, what are you guys getting uniquely right that you feel like others in the space could potentially learn from?
So I think what sets us separately from other teams is our ability to turn hardcore research into product and do that in a rapid pace at such high fidelity. If you look across the team, all our founders have different skills. Evan was one of the main contributors to LLVM, which runs on all our phones today. In fact, you wouldn't have an iPhone unless you worked on that. Sam Blackshear invented the Move programming language. He's a programming language expert. And we have Kostas Chalkias, who's, for me, probably the top cryptographer in the market right now. He built all the crypto that we did at Libra and led the crypto team at WhatsApp as well and other Facebook products. We have George, who's a distributed systems expert that's built all our algorithms. The reason why Sui is so fast is because of the work that he and the research team has done. And I lead product. But overall, if you think about it, right, we have an amazing engineering team that's had the ability and skill to build products that are powering billions of users today. So the idea of running things at a few hundred people, which is really most blockchains today, doesn't make sense to us. Like it was either go home or you know, go big or go home for us. We're always going, how do we build something that ultimately Instagram can use on day one? And that's the mission of Sui. We want to build it to a scale where people no longer have to worry about underlying constraints or throughput or latency. It should just work like a very, very fast distributed database that doesn't have a centralized control. And that's what sets us differently. It's the diversity of skills and just having top people in every aspect. I think if you look at most crypto teams, they're either all programming languages people or just all cryptographers or just all distributed systems people. It's very rare to find a team where you find all the disciplines you need to build a platform are just under one roof. And then you back that up with a very, very senior, very strong engineering team that's built platforms before at world scale.
Love it. Okay. Hey, everybody, quick thing here. We're excited to announce Wagmi Advisory, your home for all things fundraising, hiring, and partnerships. This is all about supercharging your project with the Wagmi Network, consisting of over 20,000 executives, investors, and builders in crypto, all ready to come alongside your project to help it succeed. Get in touch at team@wagmiventures.io to learn more and figure out if Wagmi Advisory is the right fit for your project. Now, let's get back to the show. So if things continue to go well, I'm curious, from your perspective, how do you see things being different? Maybe for the sweet spots of, you know, I was reading kind of about gaming and commerce and those in relation to Sui. I'm curious for maybe those verticals in particular, what happens if Sui is even more widely adopted over time?
So we think ultimately the goal of Sui is to make things more open. Right now, the internet is a max centralization. Companies like Facebook end up owning your data. I mean, not just Facebook, there are many out there. But I think the relationship between platform and users is going to change to be more fair, and it's going to be more equitable. All the technologies we've been building, for example, ZK Login is a way that enables anybody to use an existing Web2 account to control a blockchain address on chain without ever wondering about wallets or worrying about gas. We have something called sponsor transactions, where users don't even have to be introduced to the concept of gas. You can either show an ad to pay for gas or just completely pay on behalf of the users, and the user is unaware. I think the fact you marry the scheme of enabling people to log in with any existing Web2 ID they have with removing the concept of gas, you now have the ability to integrate blockchain in every single Web2 application that has any essence of digital ownership. And that's where we're going after. We want to enable existing Web2 apps to empower themselves by using a distributed ledger for managing ownership of assets at world scale. We think wallets are a very high bar for mass majority of the market, and they'll probably never use it. But we just think the fact that you already have an email, you already have an account with Facebook, you have an account with Google, that's how you get them in for doing very low value, high velocity items. And over time, once they become more educated, perhaps they may want to switch to, you know, a hardware wallet or something else. We also have multisig, of course, right? So if you want to do a transaction where I sign with my Google account, then I sign with, you know, a 2FA device, absolutely you can do that. But we think lowering the bar to enable more people to have access to these technologies is what we do separately. And I think that's what we'll bring to Web2. And I think we've been showing that with innovations we've been bringing out.
Amazing. Okay. So, you know, one recurring question on this podcast is really about kind of early days. And I'm always curious about kind of especially early day challenges, right? Because I think the way that early challenges are solved kind of does infuse the DNA of the organization in certain ways. And so I'm curious for Mistin Labs in particular, what were maybe one or two early challenges and how did you and your team think about solving for those? You know, it could be business, could be technical, whatever.
Yeah, interestingly, we built our business during COVID, right? Like where you weren't really meeting people face to face. So it's one of the challenges is raising capital during a very weird environment of not meeting people face to face. We're able to pull that off. That was a challenge in itself. Separately, it was the problem of actually starting from first principles. We had the opportunity of taking Libra, which is our brainchild that we had built at Facebook, and just continuing with that mindset and just building what, continuing using what we'd already open sourced at Facebook and just start something really, really quickly and go to market. We chose not to do that because Libra was built for a different time and was built for a different use case. It was not built to be world scale. It was built to initially start off with a very small consortium, and over time we'll get to mass scale. We thought, why try be 10% of the way there rather than let's go 100% of the way there? So we took the risk of just building a blockchain from scratch, which you just shouldn't do. I would never want to do that again. It was the right decision. It was the right decision. We ultimately were building two chains at the same time and merging them to one system. We have what we call a FastPass system, and then we have a consensus system. We're basically merging two very super complicated pieces of engineering together in real time while trying to launch a network. And I think that was the right trade-off to make. That was a very difficult decision because there was a very easy path with low cost, and it was a very expensive path with high chance of failure. But I think, given the quality of the team and the dedication we have to our core mission, we were able to really do it. And I think we're really now reaping the rewards of that innovation, because now developers are coming to tell us that it's literally, you know, a 10x improvement on building on other chains that they've seen.
Love it. Okay, so you know, flip side of that question is sometimes, you know, I'm just curious about you personally, what gets you most excited as you look out over the next 6 months to a year at Mistin Labs? Like, what are you guys cooking that could be interesting for folks to learn about that has you personally motivated to show up every day to continue to build?
Yeah, I think when we started Libra, it was all about making a global ledger that makes it easy to send money as easy as email. We all know the incumbent companies who control the financial systems or financial platforms end up being very high fee barriers to making it something that could proliferate to everyone in the world. And I think it's just an unfair world in that sense. I was originally born and raised in Nigeria, a company that really struggles financially. And, you know, many neighboring countries struggle with financial inclusion and things of that nature. And to really build a ledger where anybody in the world can be empowered to build financial applications, loyalty reward applications ultimately that power the day-to-day tasks that people need to do, we think that coordination layer needs to exist, but it cannot be gatekept by large corporations. And what makes me personally very excited is the fact that now with Sui, anybody in Nigeria, in India, in Pakistan, you know, anywhere in the world can, if they can learn how to code. And I think even with the advent of AI, coding is going to be so easy for the rest of the world going forward, that anybody now, the barrier of entry to write code is going to be very, very low. And especially if you have a very safe programming language like Move, the propensity to having errors and bugs and hacks, kind of like you have with existing chains, is going to be gone. Just because Move is way, way safer to write in and less verbose. I think now the barrier is going to be, how creative can you be? And how good can you do marketing? How good are you at building community? And we've seen a lot of inspiration from Web3 in our community building aspect to launching great and amazing products. And that's a bar that I think, you know, is way more accessible to everybody else than just capital-based bars alone.
Love it. Okay. So I'd love to take a step back here and ask some more general questions about the space. And the first thing I'm curious about is really, like, how would you narrate this current moment we're in as an industry, kind of as the crypto blockchain space, and really like agnostic to token prices, right? More from like a technology and maturation perspective. How would you narrate sort of where we're at right now?
Look, it's no it's no question that we're in a bull cycle now, right? We've started seeing a bull cycle, and I actually think we're probably going to see one of the biggest bull cycles we've ever seen, and we're nowhere close to that yet. It's just the beginning of mumblings of it. But the reality is, when this happens, it's not like there's a flurry of innovation. It's really just a flurry of, you know, of quick get rich quick schemes that seem to proliferate, and it seems to work many times over. But the reality is, you know, in 5 years' time, most of these things won't be here. What matters is who can make the most amount of impact and grow the amount of users across the base as fast as possible. And I think those schemes eventually will run out of money, and, you know, people will get tired and eventually figure out that it's a scam. Our goal is to enable people to build real applications at scale. And that matters if you're growing the pie. I think crypto as a whole is a very small market. And our goal with the technologies we built is to bring it to a broader market. We think if you look at the Web3 space, maybe you got 15 to 20,000 real core devs. But JavaScript alone and other languages, you can add up to over 12 million developers across the world. So it means there is a massive, massive opportunity of untapped potential that we can go after. And I think other chains should absolutely be going after. Having more people in Web3 benefiting from the technology is only going to make DeFi much more real. Because imagine bringing 100 million users to Uniswap, right? Or 100 million users to, you know, an on-chain marketplace for NFTs. But instead of just NFTs and JPEGs, and maybe trading reward programs, loyalty points, and things of interest, right? Concert tickets, right? That's a much, much bigger market than crypto. And I think that's what excites us, because we looked at the numbers while we were at Facebook and we knew it will be huge. And that's what gets us really, really, really excited. We think we can really create a much more fair financial system, but ultimately there's a lot of value capture that still hasn't been had yet.
Super interesting. Okay. So another recurring question on this podcast is, if I were to ask you the future of crypto is blank, how would you fill in that blank?
The future of crypto is Web 2. What I mean by that is, I'm not saying Web 2 is perfect. The future of crypto is where the users are. Users, more users in Web 2 than there are in Web 3 today. And there are many people who have no access to internet. So the future of crypto needs to go to where users already are. And we do that by reducing the barrier of entry to everybody else so that they can actually use it and gain value from it. I think right now, it's, if you think about DeFi has a capital requirement. You have to have capital in the first place to participate in DeFi. What if you don't have capital? Which is why community building is a relatively interesting part of empowering a group of people to vocalize the problems that you're solving and basically market for you. I think that's great innovation. I think that's fantastic. And I can't wait to see that grow even more. But I think to get there, we need to have builders who have been building applications for decades to mass market come into Web3. And I think you have them working with some of the most creative minds in Web3 who have been building, you know, amazing applications. Like, just even AMMs are amazing innovation in themselves. But if you start to partner the minds that have been building at scale with minds who have been creating at such a rapid and iterating at a rapid rate, we can solve some really amazing problems. That's what really excites us.
Love it. Okay. Just to tag onto that, I'm curious, like, what do you, because you mentioned, you know, number of core developers in crypto, and you've kind of mentioned the scale at which even just like Java as a language, right? 12 million. I'm curious, for those Web 2 folks that maybe have some of the experience building things that, you know, we would want them in the blockchain space to be thinking about applications that could be interesting from a Web 2 perspective, maybe powered by Web 3 technology. Like, what do you think the friction is there? You know, what are the bottlenecks that exist currently, and how could maybe those go away?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, nobody wakes up in the morning and say, I need a blockchain, right? You don't just say, I need a blockchain. I feel like I need a blockchain. You know, I've seen a meme that says, what color blockchain do you want? That's actually quite true. You know, people want problems solved. They want solutions to the problems that they have. And we've been doing a lot of work there, in the sense of, if you look at our growth in gaming, we've gone to gaming because gaming has the highest amount of demand. If you have a ledger that doesn't have throughput limit like other chains has, then you want to go to where there's low value, high volume transactions to showcase that technology. And it's also an area where others can't compete. So we went to gaming very, very hard because we felt it's an area that's untapped. And also it has a demand for scale, and users really care about UX in that space. And we've been doing really, really well. We have over 65 games signed up to Suite. But what we're not going to gaming companies and saying, hey, you know, why don't we sell your blockchain? It's, here are the challenges we believe you have in gaming. We have gaming experts in the company. Here is how we may solve it using our underlying technology, and we'll package that either as an SDK or a set of APIs, that allows them to get up and running very, very quickly. In fact, we're launching a platform in April that we're announcing that actually simplifies that Web2 building experience for the mass market. So no longer do you have to worry about SDKs and APIs for blockchains. You simply just worry about, okay, I want an API to create an asset. I want an API to turn to an asset. It's all they care about, right? It's how they're used to engaging. The underlying technology, the fact that it prevents double spends, it's cryptographically safe. It's an equitable platform that everybody can join. It's a powerful interoperability layer that rivals anything you've ever seen in the world. That is a value. But to tap the access of what they can do from a creativity standpoint, the access points need to be very, very alike into what they're used to doing. So that's why we build. That's exactly why we build. And I think that's why we're seeing the adoption rate that we're seeing in SWE. Because we've built developer platforms before, we know what devs care about. The dev experience is what we are fully obsessed about. And we're not going to throw an API, an SDK, a blockchain SDK to you and expect you to come up with great ideas. We're going to listen to the problems you have, and we're going to create the right set of APIs that really tailor to your business needs and allow you to start onboarding the tech. And I think over time, devs, I think there'll be a world in a market or marketplaces in the world where devs will, you know, write smart contracts and make it available for everyone to use and monetize other contracts directly. For example, loyalty, like who's going to build an amazing loyalty program? The blockchain is a great app store. It's going to be the best app store ever, right? It's not with the walled gardens of Apple or the other marketplaces that exist today. I think that's where you're going to see amazing sort of apps built by web people who were previously building in Web2, but now can take their skills to Web3 and build at scale.
Love that. Okay. So a couple last questions here for you. You know, first one, I'm just curious if you could maybe go back in time, sort of time travel here to your earlier self at the beginning of your journey as a founder, specifically in crypto. I know it's changed so much since the beginning, but I'm curious maybe what meta skills or, you know, meta perspective you might want to provide to that younger version of yourself from kind of your more seasoned self now that might be useful for others to hear.
Yeah, I slapped myself and said, don't sell any Bitcoins ever. That's the first thing. I was buying since 2011. So, but that's a different moot point. But I think the thing is really, if I had to, I felt like I had to go through the journey of learning what happened in enterprise at scale to understand that that's not where it's at. Because I was very hung up on crypto moving relatively slow. I was disillusioned with how slow Bitcoin was in terms of like the ability to innovate. And my belief was ultimately that you go to a big company and you help them get excited about opportunities and they build. And you realize the whole point was these companies can never get to agree on many things, right? Like the whole point of Bitcoin and distributed ledger technology is the fact that it gives you consensus. It's basically consensus as a service or trust as a service that is very, very hard to replicate with traditional tech. And I think I would have really cautioned myself to be more patient and continue building in the space rather than taking that hiatus. But I felt I almost needed that hiatus to learn what I already should have known by reading the Bitcoin white paper. So yeah.
Yeah, fascinating. Okay. So one last question here for you. What is your team working on right now? And what's the best way for people to follow along on the journey?
So we're working on Basecamp. Basecamp is our inaugural conference that we're going to be launching. It's almost a year since mainnet. We'll be announcing a lot of amazing partnerships, a lot of amazing projects that are removing their existing infrastructure and building it first as first-class citizens on SWE, because they've tried the infrastructure and it just works. So these are amazing, massive projects that are choosing to pivot to use SWE as underlying technology. We're going to be talking about stablecoins that are coming to SWE. We're going to be talking about new innovations and the roadmap for Move 2024. Ultimately, lots of great things for developers, a lot of great things for people who are interested in the underlying space and the ecosystem to come and learn about what amazing things are happening on SWE. We're available at SWE.io. So if you want to look at the SWE Foundation site or the SWE website itself, it's SUI.io. And Mysten Labs, if you want to learn more about Mysten Labs, the company, it's Mysten, MYSTENLABS.com. You can learn about roles we have available, things that we're doing. We're always working on some really crazy things. But always hit me up. I'm also on Twitter. You can add me on Twitter. Love to talk anytime. It's EMANABIO. So it's at EMANABIO on Twitter.
Amazing. Thank you so much for the time and the perspective. Really, really fascinating insights. And I'm excited to follow along myself on the journey. So have a great rest of your week here and take care.
Thank you very much.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and maybe give us a good 5-star rating and subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts so you can get all the latest conversations with the most interesting crypto founders, investors, and builders from across the world. Thanks so much. Have a good one.